Jane FM Real Radio, you're listening to A Trip with Penny Lane, brought to you by the Slippery Noodle, and it's going to be so fun tonight at the Slippery Noodle, 8 p.m. You can join Big Al and the Heavyweights. Big Al performed many years with David Allen Co. This is pretty neat, too. Blues brother Dan Aykroyd referred to Big Al as the pounding, driving force behind the music of the Heavyweight. Their music was even featured in the opening for Dan Aykroyd's radio show, House of Blues. Excited to check out Big Al's show tonight at the Slippery Noodle, and honored to have him taking a trip with Penny Lane right here on Giant FM. Mr. Big Al, welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about growing up in New Orleans.
Well, it's definitely a unique place. A lot of people, you know, that come here compare it to a third world country without going to a third world country. But just the music and the culture and the whole diversity of it is, you really don't appreciate it till you go other places, and it's so, for use of a better term, vanilla. Like if, you know, you go to Atlanta or maybe Dallas or something. But you know what? New Orleans itself, it's the people that make it so, you know, beautiful and just so rich and diverse. And that's when I was growing up there, I really didn't understand what we, you know, had until I moved to other places. I lived in Nashville for a long time. But, you know, as a young man, I remember standing outside of Tipitina's or the Maple Leaf and listening to Professor Longhair. And I really didn't appreciate it until I got older. It's like, you know, realized what he was doing. Professor Longhair, James Booker, Dr. John, all these people. And, you know, it's just an amazing experience. And I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Can you think back to your first musical memory?
Yep. I went to see the Earth Day because it was an outdoor concert. And everybody could get in. You know, you didn't have to have an ID or anything like that. I didn't have to stand outside and listen to these guys. And it was Dr. John, and the Meters was his backup band. And that was one of my first experiences I can, you know, really point to and go, wow, that was something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was my really first true experience of a real concert in a. And Dr. John, that's when he was doing the gree-gree thing, and he was all dressed up in his, you know, gree-gree outfit, and throwing the whatever that stuff he throws, you know, around and everything.
Uh-huh.
It was great. I'll never forget it. You know, I was just like mesmerized.
Would you say you were inspired at that point to perform?
No, I was inspired definitely before then, but that really hit the nail on the head. And then one time I had gotten into Tipitina's to hear this band from the Northeast, and they had a harmonica player, a guitar player, bass player, and a drummer, and they were playing blues, like Muddy Waters inspired blues. But they were, you know, all white guys. And I went to Tipitina's, and I got in, and I'm listening to this band, and they're just killing it, playing this great, you know, blues driving music, and I don't see any guitar player. And Jimmy Thackeray comes walking from the back of the bar to the stage, and the place just went crazy. This is like when the old wireless thing just was kind of starting out, you know, the very infant stages. And I mean, that was definitely another thing I'll never forget. You know, blues wise, that's probably one of my first really great blues experiences.
When did you first start performing?
I played with this guy named Brooklyn Robert. He was a piano player, and he was inspired by Professor Longhair and James Booker. And it was me and just him. I played drums, and he played piano. And I was like 16, and he would let me play with him on like the Riverboat, the President, and a few clubs and stuff like that. And he would get me in to play these clubs, and I'm, you know, I was probably like 17, but I, you know, I was still being able to perform, and that was my really first true gig was with Brooklyn Robert. He's no longer with us. He got shot and killed over a leather coat in New Orleans.
Oh boy.
Yeah, showing his cousin from New York around, and he got off a streetcar, And this guy followed him and said, hey, man, he had a full-length black leather coat. He said, how about that leather coat? And he said, you got to be kidding. And he turned and walked away, and he shot and killed him.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, and when the cops called me up, you know, I mean, we picked up his stuff, and I took his boots, but I didn't want that coat.
No.
I was like, I don't want this.
No. Oh, my gosh.
So I still have his boots.
Wow.
But, yeah, that was my most, probably, you know, my first real gig.
That's, I'm speechless on that one.
Yeah, well, it's you know, New Orleans is a great place, but it's a dangerous place too.
Blues brother Dan Aykroyd described you as the pounding driving force behind the music of the heavyweights. Tell me a little bit about your inquires with Mr. Dan Aykroyd.
Well, you know, he's a rabid harmonica player. He's a big fan of harmonica driven bands, and he was, you know, he right back then he was probably, you know, just kind of learning to play and things like that, and he obviously got hold of one of our CDs through the House of Blues radio show, and he was inspired because we were one of the, you know, a lot of bands, instead of they went away from having a harmonica player in the band, and because harmonica was more of an older sound, you know, the Muddy Waters and the things like that, and they wanted to be more modern. So a lot of the Chicago bands went away from the harmonica and got keyboard players. So Dan was, I think, really caught by the fact that, man, these guys are young cats with a harmonica player that's just freaking wailing,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And he, man, I'm telling you, I put that first record out, I forget what year, maybe 1983 or something like that. And he heard that song, House Party, and he just loved it. And for a while, he played it for the opening of the show. And he featured five of my songs on the House of Blues radio show throughout the years.
Wow. Wow.
I'm not Tommy Castro, but he even did an interview. He even interviewed me. And the interview kind of went like, I went to a studio in Nashville and recorded the responses to his questions. You know, it wasn't like he's like we're talking right now.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. They had, you know, he said, well, here, you answer this, answer that, and there's the interview.
Well,
and, you know, he put his part, and then I put my part.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the first time I ever did anything like that.
Yeah, but, finished product sound good? I would take.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Great. You wouldn't even know.
You would have known.
Nope.
Technology at its finest, huh?
And this wasn't like recently either.
Well,
this is a while back.
Right, and that was your first album, which did extremely well. Right off.
That was on Rolling and Tumbling Records, yes.
Yes.
That's right.
Tell me about your song, House Party.
It's just about everything somebody likes to do. It's like not just South Louisiana, anywhere. It's about three simple things, eating and drinking and partying. It's like something, everybody likes. And so I was trying to think of a song that had something in it that everybody liked to do.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I came up with it. In House Party, you know, instead of a lot of sounds, and not just Louisiana, but in the South, a lot of parties were held at houses. And people donated to the band. Like, you played at somebody's house in somebody's backyard. And they put out a bucket, and people donated to the band. And hence the term house party.
Yeah, that's neat. From your experience, you know, just sort of curious, do you come out well when you have house parties?
Man, sometimes I've came out really well. I mean, I don't really do that stuff anymore, you know, but I mean, I've had great times, I ate great food, and got paid well. During Mardi Gras or during Jazz Fest, people will have parties at their house, and they'll want a band, and you know, they'll hire a band. And of course, way back when, you know, they didn't hire you, just say, hey, you want to come play? We're having a big old party. Sure. We're going to be, you know, lots of food, there's going to be drinks. House party. All right. Great. There it is. That's how I wrote it.
That's, well, I like it. Dan Aykroyd liked it too, huh?
Yeah.
That had to
great
be.
Great song for me.
That had to be a great feeling to have that as the opener of a show.
Oh, yeah. This is Big Al from Big Al and the Heavyweights. We're going to take a trip with Penny Lane on Giant FM. Let's have a house party. Mm-hmm.
party, y'all are invited down. We got lots of tunes on the radio, everybody rocking, shouting for it's a house party.
By Big Al and the Heavyweights on Giant FM Real Radio. You're listening to A Trip with Penny Lane. We're going to return to an interview with Big Al from Big Al and the Heavyweights. Al, tell us about performing with David Allan Coe.
Well, it was something, you know, I'd known about David Allan Coe for a long time because he married a girl from Broussard, Louisiana, and her name was Mimi. And Mimi used to come here, a band I played with called the Deep South Ramblers, at the Wagon Wheel in Baton Rouge. Well, Christmas time came, and David was in Baton Rouge with Mimi, and he had a couple of jobs. He had one on Christmas Eve and one on Christmas night. Well, the band that he was playing with him was from Texas, and they didn't want to be there for Christmas, so they left. They went back home. So he was without a band. And Mimi knew that I played drums with the Deep South Ramblers, and she had David's truck driver, who I also knew, Harold Mater, come out and see me and say, "Hey, David's looking for a drummer. Can you come and rehearse on this day?" And I'm going like, "Sure, not a problem." And that's all started. And when he had to put together a whole band. And that's when Warren Haynes came into the picture also. Because the bass player, Mickey Hayes, was from North Carolina, and he knew Warren, and he called Warren. And so we all were playing with David Allan Coe, and it was great. I mean, it was the best experience I could probably ever had in my life. I got to play on the Grand Ole Opry. I got to play on Austin City Limits. I got to play all over the United States and Europe. I lived in Key West when Key West was still a place where hippies and smugglers lived.
Oh, wow. You know,
it wasn't a big tourist thing. You know, there were tourists there, but it was, you know, mainly hippies and smugglers. That's where people went. And David had a house there, and that's where he was living. And that's when we got off the road, we went to his big house in Big Pine Key, Florida. And when we rehearsed and we stayed at a warehouse he rented next to Shorty's Diner on Duval Street. It was quite an experience. I'm telling you, if it all ended today, you know, I've had a great run and it's been a blast. I've had a huge, great musical experiences. You know, there always has ups and downs. It's mm-hmm. not easy to be gone mm-hmm. if we're mm-hmm. out on the road, but I'm not on the road all the time like I used to be or anything like that. And the David Allan Coe thing was a really, really fun thing. He taught me how to make a living playing music, I'll tell you that.
Wow, that's an important thing to learn if you're in the music business.
Yeah, he a lot of life lessons right there.
Your latest CD, Sunshine on Me, which, by the way, our listeners can download the title track for free. When they sign up for your email.
That's right. That's one of the great things that we offer. And featured on Sunshine on Me is my ex-bandmate from many years ago when I had the Unknown Blues Band together, is Warren Haynes. Yeah, he's playing the slide guitar on there.
Oh, yeah. Tell our listeners where your website is, where they can go and get this free song.
BigAl.net.
BigAl.net. That's an easy one to remember, Al.
That's right. We make it easy.
So, also, too, one thing I really appreciated, and we sort of hit on this a little bit earlier, was the harmonica, like Hey Hey Mardi Gras and, Good Gumbo. That's another fun song. But a lot of them, like, you just hear that harmonica just, like, hit it, and it's just, I love it.
And that's Harmonica Red on Good Gumbo. And he's had some health issues, so he's not going to be with us on this trip. But I am going to have Dale Spaulding playing with us at the Slippery Noodle. From Canned Heat.
Ooh, that's nice. That's really nice.
I mean, I've been really lucky, but it's going to be fun. It's definitely a lot of fun.
So tell our listeners, now a lot of them have been to the Slippery Noodle Inn, but tell our listeners the show's going to be tonight, plus there'll be half-price drinks, but tell our listeners a little bit about your show tonight at the Slippery Noodle, which starts at 8 o'clock.
It's going to be big, big fun, like all Big Al and the Heavyweight shows. We're going to be doing songs from all of our CDs, plus some great songs that we just love to play. It's a little bit of everything. We're going to take you on a musical tour of South Louisiana.
Sounds like fun.
Yep, with a little mixture of Chicago and everything else.
Well, let's talk about Good Gumbo. I've never had gumbo before, so tell me about the song. And I pretty much would guess that Good Gumbo inspired you to write it.
It's just a recipe song. We would go, when we tour, people would come up to us and go, man, you want to eat some gumbo, and we'd be in West Virginia or something like that. And I'd go, and they went through all the trouble making gumbo, and it would taste like Campbell's soup, with maybe some hot pepper in it or something like that. And nothing against it. They worked hard trying to make it. But so I decided, you know what, I'm going to write a recipe song. That way the recipe for some good gumbo is going to be on the CD. And that's kind of what inspired that, because we would go all over and people would cook gumbo for us. And I go, no, I want to eat what you eat. I want to eat what the locals eat. And I can eat all the gumbo I want when I'm back home. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so that's kind of what inspired it. This is one of my favorite songs I've written in the past several years. I wrote this with Mr. Tim Wagner, and it's a recipe. You can actually be cooking good gumbo and listening to some great music, and this is one to put in the books, one called Good Gumbo.
I need some.
come between me and my bowl. Cause I want some.
Hey, this is Big Al from Big Al and Heavyweights. Make sure y'all come on out to the Slippery Noodle. We're going to have us a laissez-les, bon temps roulette good time.
That's tonight, downtown Indianapolis at 8 p.m., Big Al and the Heavyweights.